and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic radio show from radio's golden age. Happy Father's Day to our listeners. I collaborate on this podcast with my father, Gene Ward, the former host of this show. To celebrate, we have lots of laughs with the great Gildersleeve and the life of Riley. Gildersleeve was a confirmed bachelor, famous for dating women, but never tying the knot. In this episode, he gets caught up in the excitement of being an expectant father. Enjoy The Great Gildersleeve, Expectant Father, first broadcast October 12, 1949, on NBC.
The Kraft Foods Company, makers of Kraft Quality Foods, presents Harold Perry as The Great Gildersleeve. As much as $6,000 in cash to spend any way you want. That's what the grand prize winner of Parquet Margarine's $50,000 Name My Song contest may get for naming Gildersleeve's song. More than 1,300 other prizes. Contest open to listeners in the United States, Canada, and Hawaii. Full details in our next announcement. The Great Gildersleeve and this $50,000 prize contest are brought to you by the makers of Parquet Margarine. The margarine millions prefer because it tastes so good. That's P-A-R-K-A-Y. Parquet margarine made by Kraft. Well, Summerfield's most eligible bachelor is in a gay mood tonight. He has a date with that pretty nurse, Miss Catherine Milford. There's a shine on his shoes, a press in his suit, and a song in his heart. And of course, he wrote the song himself.
Familiar strain. Quite a strain right there. Doesn't sound quite right when I play it. Maybe I can get Marjorie to. Marjorie!
Yes, Uncle?
You know what would make my song sound a lot better?
I do, Uncle. The Andrews Sisters.
Yeah. Leroy, come on, Marjorie. Play it for me.
All right. But I thought you had a date with Miss Milford.
Well, I have a date at 8 o'clock. If there's anything I hate to do, it's wait around a hospital. Seems silly for a man to go into one of those places standing up. All right, go ahead and play, Marjorie.
Yeah, I'll sing it with you.
You, Leroy?
Sure.
Yes, at your age, you never know if it'll come out bass or soprano.
Yeah, I'm practically a quartet all by myself. Hit it, Marge.
There's an old familiar strain. Refrain that takes me back to days of yore.
Days of yore. Stop clowning. Come on now.
I see a chapel on the hill. Spring's first daffodils reflected in the mill pond from the shore. First kiss in that old canoe. And though we've drifted far apart, this song lives in my heart. It's a melody of love and you.
Would you like that, Bertie?
Yes, sir. That Leroy's another Dennis date.
Yeah?
She's kidding, Leroy.
I just thought of a title for your song, Miss Gildersleeve.
You did?
Yes, sir. It came to me when I was washing the gravy boat.
Oh? What is it, Bertie?
A wooin' and canoeing.
A wooin' and canoeing?
Well, that's not bad, Bertie. I don't get it.
Never mind.
Everybody down at the lodge is trying to think of a title, but I got it. or wooing and canoeing.
Well, I certainly appreciate your cooperation, Bertie.
You go use my title, Mr. Gilfrey?
A little early to say. A lot of people are sending in titles that are pretty good.
I knew I had a good title when I was washing that gravy boat.
Well, you could have thought of a worse one, I think.
Yes, sir. A wooing and canoeing. It came to me just like that when I was washing the gravy boat. You know how I thought of a wooing and canoeing, Miss Gilfrey?
Yes, Bertie.
That's right. It came to me when I was washing the gravy boat. A wooing and canoeing.
Bertie never gives up. Come to think of it, I might take Catherine out to see the reservoir this evening. A wooing and canoeing. Not a bad idea. Better get down to the hospital. Hospitals. Wonder where Catherine is. They said I'd find her here on the second floor. Well, at least it's more pleasant up here. Those people downstairs paying their bills look pretty sick. What's keeping her? Three? I haven't been waiting that long. It's been a half an hour, though.
Dr. Spencer, wanted in surgery.
Wonder if I should page her. Nurse Milford wanted in Gildersleeve's car. Well, I've been standing long enough. Guess I could sit on the radiator, unless the heat's on. I ought to put some chairs out in these halls.
Throckmorton.
Well, Catherine.
I hope I didn't keep you waiting too long.
No, glad to wait for you.
Then you won't mind waiting a little longer.
Zeef.
Dr. Spencer is performing an operation that I'd like to watch.
But, Catherine, we have a date.
Forgive me, won't you? It's always so hard to leave the hospital. You get so interested in what's going on.
Well, that's all well and good, but you should get away from your work, Catherine. That's the way I do things out at the water department. No matter what's going on, when 5 o'clock comes, bing, bing, I force myself to leave.
Yes, I know. But this is a sympathectomy.
Simple hook to me?
It's an operation for high blood pressure.
Well, if I have to wait around here much longer, Dr. Spencer can perform a double header.
Oh, Throckmorton, I won't be long. You just make yourself comfortable.
Comfortable? Standing out here?
Oh, dear, I'm sorry. Come down the hall with me. I know just the place for you.
Oh? Down this hall?
Mm-hmm.
Catherine, the arrow says maternity ward.
Mm-hmm. There are lots of magazines and easy chairs in here.
Oh?
There. This is the father's room.
The father's room?
Mm-hmm. Just make yourself at home.
All right.
Just relax. Won't be long.
Never thought I'd wait for a girl who wears white cotton stockings. Might as well sit down. Wonder who that fellow over in the corner is. Awfully pale. Needs a shave, too.
Hi.
Hi.
Is this your first?
First? Oh, no. I'm just visiting here. I'm a bachelor.
Bachelor?
Yeah, I'm waiting for my date.
Oh. My name's Johnson. Ralph Johnson.
Well, glad to know you, Ralph. I'm Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, City Water Commissioner.
Glad to meet you, Mr. Gildersleeve. It's good to have somebody to talk to.
Yeah, I imagine it is.
This is my first.
I can see that.
I've been here since 5 this afternoon.
That long?
You got a match?
Match? Oh, yes. Here. I better light it for you.
Thanks.
No, the other end. You're lighting the cork tip.
Oh. Want a magazine?
No, thanks. I read all last year's magazines.
Gosh, Mr. Gildersleeve, you don't know what a father goes through having a baby.
Now, my boy, remember, this happens every day to hundreds of people.
Yeah, but I can't stand this waiting.
Just relax. It won't be long.
I don't know why I can't be as lucky as a buddy of mine. He had a baby last night, and he was only here half an hour.
Oh, well, don't get impatient, Ralph. Maybe your stork overshot the hospital. Yeah, but don't worry. He'll come back.
Oh, gosh, I wonder what the baby will look like. I've been thinking a lot about that. Have you ever seen a new baby, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, I hadn't until I saw my buddy's. He was pretty small.
Oh?
Yeah, only weighed 9 pounds.
Well, 9 pounds isn't a bad start.
Didn't have any hair. Just all red and wrinkled.
Now, Ralph, when I was a baby, I didn't have any hair either. Look at me now. Hey, something must be going on. They keep ringing that bell.
Yeah, they keep ringing it, but nothing happens. Why don't they come out and tell me something?
Better have another cigarette, Ralph. Here, I'll light it.
Thanks.
Think I'll have one, too. Haven't smoked one of these things in years. What was that?
That's my baby. Mr. Gildersleeve is here.
Great, let's go out and see the little fellow.
Yeah. Hey, nurse, wait, here I am.
Hey, nurse, here we are.
Yeah, let me see it, let me see it. Let me get a look at it.
Good gentleman, what's all the excitement?
Well, that's my baby.
Oh, are you Mr. Wilkins?
Wilkins? No.
Well, I didn't think so. His wife said he was a night watchman.
Awfully sorry, Ralph. We'd better go back in and sit down.
All right. Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yes, Ralph?
I wonder if I'm ever going to be a father.
What do you mean?
I wonder if something's gone wrong.
No. Remember, Ralph, no news is good news.
Well, that's what they say.
Yeah.
No news is good news.
Wonder if anything is wrong.
Throckmorton.
Oh, hello, Catherine.
It's going to be a long operation, so I decided not to wait.
Oh. Catherine, Miss Milford, this is Ralph. When did you say your name was?
Name? Oh, Johnson. Ralph Johnson. Yeah.
He's expecting.
Oh, well, isn't that wonderful? Good luck, Mr. Johnson.
Thanks. I'll need it.
Poor fellow.
Well, Throckmorton, let's go. We still have most of the evening.
Yes. Well,
You were sweet to wait. I spend too much time at the hospital. I shouldn't become so interested in what's going on around here.
Catherine?
Yes? What is it, Throckmorton?
Why don't you run on home? I'll pick you up later.
What?
I can't leave Ralph here alone.
Oh, Throckmorton.
Catherine, please, go home and relax. It won't be long.
Cash prizes, $50,000 worth. As much as $6,000 in cash to the grand prize winner. More than 1,300 prizes in all in Parquet Margarine's great Name My Song contest. Each week for 5 weeks, Parquet Margarine is awarding 4 $1,000 first prizes, 20 $100 cash prizes, 50 $20 cash prizes, 200 $10 cash prizes. Yes, name Gildersleeve's song and you may win one of those prizes. And there's an additional grand prize, $5,000 for the best name of all. Now, you don't need to know music. Just think of a title for Gildersleeve's song. Send it with the red end flap of a package of Parquet Margarine to Parquet Margarine, Box 5167, Chicago 77, Illinois. Your dealer has an entry blank with full instructions and the words of Gildersleeve's song, or a plain piece of paper will do. Be sure to include your own and your dealer's name and address. And write down that address, Parquet Margarine, Box 5167, Chicago 77, Illinois. Entries in this week's contest must be postmarked before midnight this Saturday. So hurry. Imagine winning as much as $6,000 in cash. Let's get back to the great Gildersleeve. He came down to the hospital tonight to get his girlfriend, Nurse Catherine Milford. She wasn't quite ready to go, so she had him wait in the father's room. Now the nurse has gone home, but the water commissioner is still on duty.
Have another cigarette, Ralph?
No, thanks. Can't see for the smoke now. I'll never go through this again.
No, Ralph.
This is my first and it's my last. What time is it?
10:15.
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, you don't have to wait around here with me. You should be out with your nurse.
I'll stay around a little longer. You need company.
Oh, I'm all right. Oh, I think I'll sit down.
You are sitting down.
Well, how are we doing in here?
Doctor,
Where have you been? What's happening?
Any news, Doctor?
Well, the Yankees won the World Series.
How's my wife? What about my baby?
Everything is fine. We just have to be a little patient.
Patient?
And don't worry, I've never lost a father yet.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you a relative?
No, I'm Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, the water commissioner.
Oh? Something wrong with the pipes around here?
No, Doctor, I'm just standing by. I'm a friend of Mr. What'd you say your name was?
Johnson.
Yes. Oh, yes, Ralph Johnson.
Doctor, are you sure everything's okay?
Now, you look a little drawn, Johnson. Why don't you step out and get a sandwich and some black coffee?
Well?
You'll have a little time. See you later. I'd better be getting back now.
Oh, what do you think, Mr. Gildersleeve? Shall we go?
Well, I'm getting hungry, all right, but I don't know. We wouldn't want to be out when the baby comes.
No, we wouldn't want that.
I could use the phone here and have some sandwiches sent up.
Yeah, there's a lunch counter right across the street.
Well, I think I'll call Mr. Peavy. They want everything sanitary around the hospital. Might as well get the sandwiches from a drugstore.
Your telephone is ringing, Peavy.
Yes, I guess it is. Excuse me, Johnny.
Certainly. I'll finish my celery phosphate and be on my way.
Peavy's pharmacy.
Peavy, this is Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, this is Mr. Peavy. Yep.
I know that. Peavy, I want to order some sandwiches and coffee.
Very well.
I'd like two cheese and two chicken sandwiches.
Well, it's a little late, Mr. Gildersleeve. How about four cheese sandwiches?
What?
These chickens are gone bad.
All right, Peavy, make it four cheese. Can you send them over?
I guess the messenger service is still open. Are you at home?
No, I'm at the hospital, Peavy.
The hospital? My, my.
I'm in the father's room.
Oh, yes?
The father's room, Peavy.
That's what I thought you said.
Send them right over. Goodbye.
Goodbye. You hear that, Judge?
Hear what, Peavy?
Mr. Gildersleeve's at the hospital in the father's room.
What? Gildy couldn't be there.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. He said he was.
I just saw a nurse in the hall, Ralph, but I didn't find out anything.
Those nurses, they don't know what it is to be a father.
Wonder where that messenger is.
I don't know if I can eat anything or not.
Oh, we have to keep our strength up, my boy. Certainly is quiet around here.
Oh, here comes somebody.
Huh? Must be the boy with the sandwiches.
Is this where I'll find Dr. Kildare?
Oh, Judge Hooker.
I brought your sandwiches, Kildare.
Oh, well, thanks, Judge.
What are you doing in the father's room? Giving birth to a new song?
This is no time for foolishness, you old goat.
I'm sorry, Gildy. Somebody waiting for a blessed event?
What do people usually wait for in a maternity ward? Judge, this is Ralph Johnson. Judge Hooker, Ralph.
How do you do, young man?
Glad to know you, Judge.
I take it you're the father-to-be.
I hope so.
Here, Ralph. Have a sandwich.
Oh, thanks.
Wait a minute. Before you bite, take the paper off.
Oh.
Your young friend seems a little nervous, Gildy.
That's precisely why I'm seeing him through this, Judge.
Tell me, young man, is this your first?
Yeah.
Now, Judge, don't talk about it. You just worry him.
Sometimes talking about it helps, Gildy. Now, take my operation.
Oh, my goodness. Please, Judge.
Very well. What are you hoping for, Mr. Johnson, boy or girl?
Well...
We don't care which it is, so long as it gets here.
Yeah. That's right, Mr. Gildersleeve. I'd settle for anything. Gosh, it's been a long time since that doctor was in.
Hi, fellas.
Well, if it isn't Mr. Munson.
Floyd.
Is he a doctor?
Hardly. He's a barber. Floyd, what are you doing here?
Me? Well, I dropped in at the Peeves to pick up some aspirin. He told me it was over here. Hey, what's going on, Commish?
Well, nothing yet. Ralph here is expecting a baby.
No kidding.
Ralph, meet Floyd Munson.
Hello, Mr. Munson.
Hi, Ralph. Care for an aspirin?
Yeah. Gosh, I'll take two. I need something.
Ralph's been waiting over 5 hours.
It's his first, Floyd.
Yeah? What's that, triplets?
No, Floyd. In hospitals, those bells ring all the time. I remember when I had my operation.
Judge, please.
Hey, look, here comes the Peeve.
Peevy, too? Oh, this place is beginning to look like the Elks Club.
Come in, Peevy.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen.
Peevy, what are you doing here?
Well, I might ask you the same, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, we're expecting. I mean, Ralph is. Over there in the corner.
Shh. He's asleep.
Well, I'll be done.
Poor fella. Well, he's had a hard night. And so have I.
Hey, how long can a deal like this go on, Commish?
Well, these things take time, Floyd. Plus, we haven't had any news for quite a while.
There's a nurse going down the hall.
Why don't you ask her about it, Commish?
Think I will. Nurse! Nurse?
Yes?
Nurse, what about the Johnson baby?
The Johnson baby?
I've been waiting here since 8 o'clock. Nothing has happened.
Well, when the baby arrives, I'm sure you'll be the first to know, Mr. Johnson.
What?
He ain't Mr. Johnson.
Oh, then you're Mr. Johnson.
No, I'm Munson the barber.
I see. Oh, I should have known who the father is all the time. The worried-looking man.
Me? Well, I wouldn't say that.
What time is it, Judge?
Well, it's 1 minute before midnight.
My, my.
Hey, there goes the doctor. Doctor, any word?
Not yet.
We didn't waken Ralph, did we?
Nah, he's still sleeping. At least he ain't worrying the way we are.
Floyd, there's no reason for you fellows to be worrying about anything. Ralph and I can handle this. Why don't you, the judge, and the Peavy go home?
Gildy, since we've stayed this long, I, for one, would like to stay a little longer.
You ought to go home, Judge. You'll fall asleep on the bench tomorrow.
Now, Gildy, we may hear glad tidings at any moment.
Well, perhaps I should call Mrs. Peavy before she calls the Bureau of Missing Persons.
Peavy, there's absolutely nothing you can do here.
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, you know the Hippocratic Oath. I may be just a pharmacist, but I don't leave until the baby comes.
I'm staying, too. I ain't no hypocrite, either.
All right, we'll all stay.
Four o'clock. Well, at least poor Ralph is still sleeping.
He's smiling now. Probably dreaming the baby's already here.
Twin.
I think I'll toss my coat over him. I'm a little stiff.
Judge, you got any affidavits with you?
Not just now, Floyd. Why?
The wife will never believe I stayed up until 4 a.m. with a sick friend.
Well, I've been here longer than any of you. I've been here 8 hours.
Petey, is it customary for these events to take so long?
Well, that all depends.
I know everything's going to be all right. Don't you, Peavy?
Oh, yeah. Don't you feel that way, Judge?
Oh, absolutely. I'm confident of the outcome. Aren't you, Floyd?
Sure, it's a breeze. Ain't it, Commish?
This morning.
8:30. Yes, Marjorie and little Leroy are having their breakfast now.
They've been serving it here since 6 o'clock. We should have snagged one of them trays as they went by.
Hey, here comes another one.
Floyd?
I'm only kidding, Commissioner.
Floyd, it's almost time for you to open the barbershop.
Let the customers wait. Little Floydie Munson ain't going to walk out on a nothing-to-nothing ball game.
There goes the doctor again, Gildy.
Oh?
Gee, we ain't seen him for 3 hours.
Hey, doctor! Doctor!
Apparently, he didn't hear you.
Just didn't want to hear me. Wonder if they're trying to keep something from us.
Don't look good to me, Commish.
Seems like they could tell us something.
All right, George, I've got a good notion to go out after that doctor and find out.
Yeah, let's get this show on the road.
Yeah.
morning.
Catherine.
Throckmorton, have you been here all night?
Well.
I see you have.
Miss Milford, you know these gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning.
Catherine, they won't tell us a thing about Ralph Johnson's baby.
Where is Mr. Johnson?
He's over there asleep.
Oh.
Come on, guys. Let's find that doctor.
Yes, I think we have a right to talk to him.
I'll go knock on the door.
Yeah, make him talk.
No, gentlemen, just a moment.
What?
You've all been dears to wait up with his father, but you've lost sleep and your nerves are...
Well, I think
we
ought...
Let me go across the hall and see if I can bring back some news.
Would you, Catherine?
Well, I don't think it will be necessary. Is this what you gentlemen have been waiting for?
Well, the baby.
Isn't it cute?
Let me see it.
Don't shove, Judge.
It's a Johnson, all right. It says so on the beads.
Is it a boy or a girl?
It's a boy.
You hear that, Catherine? It's a cigar. Have a boy. I mean... Somebody wake up Ralph. He should have a cigar, too.
You know, Throckmorton, I think you'd make a wonderful father.
Me? No, sir. I'll never go through this again.
$50,000 in cash prizes. As much as a total of $6,000 to the grand prize winner. That's the big reason you should sit down right now and think of a name for Gildersleeve's new song. You'll hear it again in a minute. Send your title, together with the red end flap of a package of Parquet Margarine, to Parquet Margarine, Box 5167, Chicago 77, Illinois. Just think, a word or one simple phrase may be worth $6,000 to you in cash. But hurry, entries for this week's contest must be postmarked before midnight this Saturday. Open to listeners everywhere in the United States, Canada, and Hawaii.
Don't forget, folks, you can get a 6-inch vinyl plastic recording of my song for only 25 cents and the red end flap of a package of Parquet Margarine. You don't need the record to enter the contest, but it might inspire a prize-winning idea. Send your quarter in the flap to Parquet Margarine, Box 5167, Chicago 77, Illinois. That's Box 5167, Chicago 77, Illinois. Same address as the contest. And now that Leroy isn't around with his bass soprano, maybe you'd like to hear how the song sounds on the record. Let's try the second chorus.
In my reverie, it seems a summer moonbeam or fields that wander on and on, to where a lane that we called ours hid among the flowers and welcomed cooling showers before the dawn. There's a lilac trellis gate where each night we'd wait to breathe the fragrance in the air. And so wherever I may roam, my thoughts will return to home. For I know that love and
good night, folks.
The Great Gildersleeve is played by Harold Perry. The show was written by Paul West, John Elliott, and Andy White, with music by Jack Meekin. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Mary Lee Robb, Lillian Randolph, Earl Ross, and Dick LeGrand. This is Jay Stewart saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of the famous line of Kraft quality food products. Be sure to listen in next week and every Wednesday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
Good night.
Want to put magic in leftover meals?
Then have plenty of Kraft prepared mustard on hand. Mustard makes hidden flavors pop right out of leftover meats, adds new life to salad or egg dishes. You can get two kinds of Kraft prepared mustard, you know. Salad mustard, mild, delicately spiced, or Kraft mustard with snappy horseradish added. Have both on hand, for when you add a little mustard, you add a lot of tang. Get Kraft prepared mustard.
You are tuned for the stars on NBC.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have one of radio's favorite fathers, Chester Riley. "What a revolting development this is," became a favorite catchphrase for any mix-up, and it fits in very well when Father's Day rolls around. Enjoy the Life of Riley, TV Father's Day, first broadcast June 16th, 1950 on NBC.
Oh, it's the life of Riley when it's Pabst Blue Ribbon you drink. The finest beer served anywhere, so let the glasses clink. Oh, east or west or north or south, there's nothing like it at all. Yes, you're living the life of Riley when for Pabst Blue Ribbon you call. When for Pabst Blue Ribbon you call.
Pabst Blue Ribbon, finest beer served anywhere, proudly presents The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix as Riley. Chester A. Riley has just finished a hard day's work at the plant. He's physically and mentally exhausted. But trudging wearily up his front walk, his sagging spirits are given a lift as he anticipates the warm greetings from his wife and children, the wholesome, tasty dinner that awaits him, and the quiet, relaxing evening surrounded by his loved ones.
Oh, Dumplin', I'm home. Peg, oh, hello, son.
Goodbye, Pop.
What the... Come back here!
What's the matter, Pop?
Come in the house, young man. Shut the door.
What did I do?
Is that a way to greet your father when he comes home after a hard day's work? Goodbye?
Oh, I'm sorry, Pop. I meant to say hello. Oh,
that's better. Come back here!
But I'm late.
Where are you going? It's supper time.
I had supper. Ma made boiled cauliflower.
Yeah, I know it. I knew it when I got off the bus. But that's no reason to run out of the house when your own father gets home.
Well, I'm just going over to Egbert Gillis's house to see Bob Hope.
You got a home. Phone Egbert and tell him to bring Bobby over here.
Pop, Bob Hope, on television.
Television? Is that all you got to do?
Hi, Daddy, here.
Oh, hello, Babs. You don't see your sister running out to see television the minute her father gets home. Babs has a little respect for it. Come back here, young lady.
What's wrong, Daddy?
Where are you going?
Well, just over to Marge's to see Bob Hope.
You too? A fine pair of kids you are. You don't see me all day long. The one time I'm home, you beat it. I don't know why I had kids in the first place. The only pleasure I get from you is when I deduct you from my income tax. I'm getting sick and tired of this.
What's all the yelling about, dear?
Well, I got plenty to yell about. I ain't in the house 2 minutes and they're gone. It's the same thing every day. Pretty soon they won't know me anymore.
Oh, now don't exaggerate.
Yeah, if this keeps up one of these days, you'll hear my son saying to my daughter, "Who's that strange man kissing Mama?"
Oh, calm down. Riley, what are you getting so excited about? They're just going out for a while to see Bob Hope.
Well, let them go. Let them go. We didn't have them around before we were married. We don't need them now. They can go.
We won't be long.
No, we'll be back in an hour. So long.
So long. Well, you must be starved, dear. I kept your supper warm for you. It's all on the stove. Just help yourself. I won't be gone long. Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye, Peg. Come back here! Where do you think you're going?
Well, just over to Mrs. Morris's to watch Bob Hope on television.
Not you, too.
Now, look, I told you this morning we were invited over there, but you didn't want to go, so I
worked hard to get a home so as I could spend a little time in it with my family. Not go running around to other people's houses to see television. It says in the paper, television keeps the family together in the home. Well, it's a big lie. It don't work with my family.
We haven't got a television set.
Don't change the subject.
That is the subject. And you know the kids are crazy about television. They've been after you for months to get a set. If you got one, they'd stay in the house more.
Well, I'll get one. I'll get one when the right time comes.
When? What are you waiting for?
I'm waiting till the new models come out with all the improvements.
What improvements?
Well, someday they'll put on entertainment. I'm no sucker. Right now, television is just in the experiment stage.
Oh, that's what you said about radio. If we'd listened to you, we'd still have a crystal set with earphones.
Yeah, well, on our old crystal set, you could tune into prize fights with Jack Dempsey knocking the ears off Louis Firpo. Today, you get girls playing softball.
Now, what's wrong with softball?
Softball. They sell to people drinks in paper cups. How can you brain an umpire with a paper cup?
Let's not stand here arguing all night. Come on, I'll give you your supper, then we'll go over to the Morrises.
No. You can go, but not me. I ain't interested in television. I don't want to have nothing to do with it.
You can't stop progress.
I got a home to enjoy it, not to sit all night in the dark getting cockeyed.
Well, when you were courting me, you loved sitting in the dark.
Oh, sure I did. You can't stop progress. And I'll tell you something else. As long as I'm alive, there ain't going to be no television set in this house.
Oh, Riley, don't make such a silly statement.
No, I ain't kidding. As long as I'm alive. The day I die, you can bring a television in the house and laugh at Bob Hope. But until then, no television. Some invention. Sitting in the dark watching strangers carrying on. In my day, they arrested Peepin' Toms.
Hey, anybody home at the Riley domicile?
Yeah, I'm in the kitchen, Gillis.
Oh, hey, Riley. Ain't you had no supper yet?
Nah, I work late.
Where's your spouse and your offspring?
Out.
They didn't even wait to have supper with you? Where'd they go that's so important?
Look, Gillis, stop putting on an innocent act. You know where they went, otherwise you wouldn't ask.
How should I know? I ain't the kind of a friend goes around snooping and eavesdropping on his next-door neighbor.
Well, they went out, and I don't know when they're coming back.
They'll be back at 9. That's when the Bob Hope show is over.
Gillis, you heard.
Well, I couldn't help it. You were screaming so loud I could hear you a block away. Not that I blame you. I'd be sore, too. What kind of a family you got? A guy waits hard all day, he comes home, and his family, instead of sitting down with him to a nice warm meal, they rush out and leave him a couple of hunks of meat in a bowl, like he was a dog.
Now, just a minute, Gillis. I resent that. I ain't a dog, and my wife don't treat me like a dog. And I resent your saying she treats me like a dog. And as far as my two kids are concerned, let me tell you I got a very fine litter.
I'm on your side.
Well, I'm sorry, Gillis. I didn't mean it. I just blew my top when you said I'm like a dog. You know me. My bark is worse than my bite.
All I say is a father is entitled to a little respect from his wife and kids.
Well, they respect me. In a way. Sort of. Once in a while. Sometimes. I guess.
What did they ever do for you? They ever remember your birthday?
They certainly do. Peg gave me a wonderful present.
Oh, yeah? What?
A vacuum cleaner.
Well, sure. Something she can use.
She does not. I'm the only one who ever uses it.
What is she going to give you for Father's Day? A girdle?
I don't need one. I'm not that fat. I mean, anyway, Father's Day is a long time off.
Oh, yeah. It's this Sunday.
This Sunday? Well, it's just still a couple of days off. How should I know what they're getting me?
I know what I'm getting. Yeah. They hid it in the closet, a gorgeous dressing gown. They think I don't know, but I peeked.
You mean you opened the package?
I not only opened it, I took it back and exchanged it for a different color.
Well, my kids won't forget me on Father's Day, don't you worry.
Stop kidding yourself, Riley. You don't mean a thing to your kids. You're just a messenger who brings home 59.20 every Friday.
No. No, that ain't true. They love me for myself.
Oh, for yourself, huh? For what? Your personality? Your looks? Your brains?
Well, 5920 ain't hay.
Yeah, but how long can you go on working? 10, 12 years at the most. Maybe with penicillin you can stretch it to 50. Believe me, Riley, before you look around, you're an old man. You got rheumatism, arthritis, bronchitis, asthma, sinus, neuritis, sciatica, lumbago.
Oh, Gillis, have you got an aspirin?
In your condition, an aspirin won't work. There you are, Riley, out of work, no money. How will you live?
Well, the kids...
Kids, yeah. Junior's married. He's got a family. Babs is married. She's got a family.
Yeah, but I gotta live somewhere.
Nah. So one Sunday afternoon, they have a family conference. What'll they do with the old man? And Babs says to Junior, I'll take Mama. You take him. But Junior says, I'll take Mama. You take him. And Babs says, I would take him, but my husband can't stand him. And Junior says, I'd take him too, but my wife can't stand him.
Somebody's gotta take me.
There's only one place left for you.
Where?
The old people's home.
No. No, I won't go. I'll run away.
Where will you run? You're in a wheelchair. I can see you now, sitting on the porch there, rocking, rocking, all alone.
Yeah, but they'll visit me, won't they?
Every Sunday.
Well, that'll be nice.
That's what they say. But come Sunday, Junior goes to a ball game.
Babs?
She goes to play canasta.
Peg?
Peg. She's minding the grandchildren.
Gillis, you'll come, won't you?
Me? Who's got time to bother with an old man?
Oh, Gillis. I never thought I'd end up like that. All alone, rocking and... Wait a minute. What am I worrying about? I'm only 40 years old.
I know, but time flies. You're in trouble, pal.
Who's in trouble? Stop needling me. I know your type. You ain't happy unless you make me miserable. Well, you'll never have the satisfaction of making me miserable. You'll see. On Father's Day, my kids won't forget the poor old man who's sitting all alone in the old people's home, rocking, rocking, rocking.
Pabst Blue Ribbon will bring you the second act of The Life of Riley in just a moment.
What do you have?
Pabst Blue Ribbon. What'll you have?
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
In Texas on the Rio Grande, the cowboys have a favorite brand. They serve it at your local bar. Sing out Partner for PBR.
What do you have?
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
What'll you have?
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
What'll you have?
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Pabst Blue Ribbon beer.
Smoother, smoother, smoother flavor. Zest and sparkle, millions favor. Taste that smoother, smoother.
Finest beer served anywhere. Pabst Blue Ribbon. Prove it yourself with a three-way experts test. One, your eyes are pleased with that blue ribbon clearness and sparkle. Two, your nose is teased with the aroma of blue ribbon hops. Three, your taste agrees.
Finest beer served anywhere.
Pabst Blue Ribbon beer.
What'll you have?
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Now back to The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix as Riley with Paula Winslow and John Brown. It is now the morning of Father's Day, and as Riley dresses hurriedly, the question uppermost in his mind is whether or not Peg and the children will remember him on this one day dedicated to fatherhood. If only Riley could overhear the conversation that is going on in the kitchen right now. What anguish and heartache he could avoid today.
What did you buy your father, Junior?
Oh, I got him a snazzy tie.
And I got him some handkerchiefs to match. What did you get him, Mother?
You'll never guess.
What, Mom?
A television set.
Oh, that's
great.
Swell.
Gee whiz, Mom, that's real thoughtful buying Pop a television set. Just what we needed.
They're awfully expensive. Where did you get the money?
Oh, your father'll pay for it. I made the down payment, of course, and we'll pay it out weekly.
Peg, I'm up. Breakfast ready?
Oh, just a minute, dear.
Where is the television set, Mom?
In the garage. It's got a built-in aerial, so all we have to do is to carry it in the house and plug it in. But first, I've got to get your father out of the house.
On Sunday? We'll have to start a fire under the couch.
I'll get him out somehow. I want to surprise him.
Okay. And we'll give him our presents at the same time.
Watch it. Here he is.
Well, good morning, everybody. Morning, Peg Dumper. Morning, Bev, sweetheart.
Morning, Daddy.
Good morning, Pop.
Good morning. Well,
Well?
Riley, will you look in the drawer there? I think there's a package of napkins.
In the drawer. A package? Napkins. Okay, I'll bite. Hey, there's a package of napkins here.
Well, that's what I said. Sit down and have your breakfast.
Yeah, sure.
Well, come on, dear. What are you looking for in the cupboard?
Nothing. Nothing. Just admiring the workmanship.
Please pass the toast, Daddy.
What are you doing today, Riley?
What am I doing?
Yeah.
Today?
Yes, what are you doing today?
Well, I thought today I'd spend with you and the kids.
What for?
What for?
Oh, I've got things to do today.
So have I.
Me too.
Yes, we'll be busy.
Last minute shopping?
Oh, no, no. I've done all my shopping for the week. Why don't you go to a movie? There's a wonderful picture, The Men.
Yeah, Peg, but today...
Well, what's so special about today?
Well, if you can ask me a question like that, okay. You don't have to spell it out. Gillis was right. Okay, I'll go.
Wait, eat your breakfast.
No, thank you. You can have breakfast with your wonderful children, but I'll eat mine in the corner drugstore. And I hope I choke.
Something wrong with the eggs, mister? You didn't eat them, and I boil them with loving care.
Oh, they're okay. I ain't hungry. Just give me the check.
Okay.
Eat. How can I eat? Some Father's Day this turned out to be. Oh, I thought Peggy'd be the last person to let me down.
Nonsense. I'll be the last person to let you down.
Oh, it's you.
Yes, it is I indeed. Digby Odell, the friendly undertaker.
What are you doing here, Digger?
Don't mention this to any of my business colleagues. I just dropped by to get a copy of my favorite magazine. Young man.
Yes, sir?
Let me have this week's issue of, if you'll pardon the expression, Life.
Life? We're all out of it.
I run into so many people like that. This week's Life was endorsed by my health club, the UEPBWLS.
The UEPBWLS?
The Undertakers, Embalmers, and Pallbearers Boxing and Weightlifting Society.
Well, I think I'll be running along, Digger.
Fine. Going my way?
Well, I don't care which way I go.
What's wrong, Riley? You seem very low.
Oh, it's everything, Digger. My wife, the kids.
Oh, yes. Children certainly can be a problem. Why, only yesterday, a gang of hoodlums pilfered a sign from a movie theater and hung it on the door of my business establishment. Ooh, I was mortified.
Well, why? What did the sign say?
Cheaper by the dozen.
Well, what my kids did is a lot worse. They didn't even remember me today, on Father's Day.
Oh, that's a catastrophic calamity to a dutiful, doting dada. I was remembered today by my sons, Clay, Mossbank, and Marblestone.
Well, you're lucky to have such nice kids.
Oh, yes, the dear lads got together and dug down for my gift. They got me a snazzy pair of Hawaiian swimming trunks. Black, with light black pineapple.
My kids don't think enough of me to give me a present. They didn't even say Happy Father's Day to me.
Oh, well, before you blame them too much, examine your own conscience, right? Maybe you haven't always been as good a father as you might.
Who, me? Well, how can you say that, Digger? Only the other day I was yelling at them.
Ah, you were yelling at them?
Well, yeah, but only for their own good. Because I want to keep the family together, have a real home life. But they're always running out at night to watch television somewhere.
A noble idea, Riley. I, too, believe in keeping the family together. In fact, my slogan is, everybody in one place, and a place for everybody. But if you want to keep them home, you should have gotten them a television set.
But I don't like watching television. What's the use of living here in sunny California if you got to spend the night looking at some guy with snowflakes all over him?
Now you're exaggerating.
No, I ain't. It hurts my eyes.
One night I watched a set for a whole hour, and when I kissed my wife before going to bed, she looked like Gorgeous George.
Nevertheless, you are being selfish, denying your family pleasure. Believe me, once you get a set, you'll like television. I adore it. I could sit there for hours watching my favorite programs. Spade Cooley. Buster Keaton and his deadpan. And there's a new quiz program that's a dandy.
Yeah?
Take it and drop it.
Well, maybe you're right. I guess I have been a little selfish. Maybe I haven't been such a good father after all. Digger, I'm going to get him a television set the first thing next week.
Why not today? There's an RCA dealer around the corner that's open, and they'll make immediate delivery.
I'll do it. Boy, will they be surprised.
I'll go with you.
Well, wait a minute. What about money? I ain't got enough.
Oh, just make a small deposit and pay as you go. Same thing in my business. Only you pay when you go. And we make the deposit. Now come along, Riley. We'd better be shoveling off.
Well, now, Miss Priscilla, it's mighty kind of you all to ask me to stay on here as foreman of the Triple X Ranch. But now that I've done paid off your mortgage and run that crooked sheriff out of these here parts, changed the course of the river so it waters your land, dynamited the log jam and shot those 35 dirty rustlers this morning, I guess I'll mosey along and look for some excitement. Come along, old Peyton.
Boy, that was a swell picture.
It's a wonderful set, Mother.
Oh, yes, it works fine, doesn't it?
When's Pop coming home?
Well, he should be home soon.
He was awfully mad at us this morning.
Oh, I don't really blame him. He thought we'd forgotten all about Father's Day. He'll get over it when he sees this set.
Hey, there's Pop now.
Where?
Across the street.
Isn't that Mr. O'Dell with him?
Hey, he's coming across.
Now, listen, children. When he comes in, don't say a word about the set. I want to see the expression on his face when he walks in here and sees what we got him. He's going to be the most surprised.
Well, I'm going in now, Digger. They must have delivered the set by now. It's over an hour.
Would you like me to go in with you?
Well, I'd rather not, Digger. No offense, but it'll probably be a very touching scene, and they might be embarrassed kissing me in front of a stranger.
As you wish.
I'm just going to walk in without saying a word and watch the expression on their faces. Well, so long, Digger, and thanks for straightening me out.
Forget it. It isn't the first time I've done it, and believe me, it won't be the last. Kill you. I must go where the wild goose goes.
So long, Digger. F is for the murder. Peg! A is a... Well, so here you are.
Yeah.
Well?
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 Riley, huh? Look over there.
Yeah, I see it. I see it.
Well?
Well?
Well, what?
Well, say something. Ain't you surprised?
Why should we be surprised?
Well, that's the last straw. There are millions and millions of fathers in this country today who got presents from their families. But I'm the only one who is thoughtful and considerate enough to give his family a present.
But Riley...
And you don't even bat an eyelash. Not even a thank you. Ungrates, that's what you are. Ingrateful ungrates.
Oh, Riley... How can you say such a thing?
No, I know you for what you really are. I've been married 18 years and I had two kids, but it ain't too late to do something about it. I'm having this marriage annulled.
Riley, have you gone crazy?
And as for that television set, back it goes, this minute. Out of my way, Junior.
Oh, Pop.
Riley, stop it. Put that set down.
Daddy, what are you doing?
Don't try to stop me. Open that door.
Mr. Riley, I've got your television set. Where do you want me to put it?
Right over there. I'm taking this one out.
Oh. Riley, where did that set come from?
Never mind that. Where did this one come from?
We got that for you for Father's Day.
You didn't forget? Oh, Peg, you really love me.
Oh. Of course, you dope.
Babsy, you love me?
What do you think, Daddy?
And you too, Junior?
Sure, Pop.
Gee, my family loves me.
What a revolting development this is.
In just a moment, Riley will return. Let's look at the weekend picnic list. Hard-boiled eggs, potato salad, cold cuts, and most important, plenty of that smoother Pabst Blue Ribbon. Yes, sir, friends, don't forget this when you're at the store tomorrow morning. When a man says, "What'll you have?" just tell him, "A handy six carton of Pabst Blue Ribbon." Slip your fingers into that patented easy-to-carry handle and take home six cans of Pabst Blue Ribbon. Enjoy the internationally famous taste of the finest beer served anywhere.
Oh, gee, Peg, I feel like a heel acting the way I did, screaming at you and the kids like that.
Oh, forget it, dear. It's not really your fault. We shouldn't have pushed you out of the house this morning. You were sweet to get that television set.
Well, I got something else. Here, Peg, for you.
Oh, Riley, perfume. Voodoo.
Just a little something for Father's Day.
But, Riley, why give me anything on Father's Day?
Well, the way I look at it, I owe you plenty. If you hadn't have become a mother, I'd never have become a father.
What'll you have? What'll you have? What'll you have?
What? Mr. Wallington, what's the right way to say those famous words?
Well, anyway is okay. But there's only one answer to that question.
Oh, yes, I know. The answer's always the same. That's smoother Pabst Blue Ribbon beer.
What'll you have? Pabst Blue Ribbon.
What'll you have?
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
What'll you have?
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Pabst Blue Ribbon beer.
Smoother flavor. Zest and sparkle, millions flavor. Taste that smoother flavor.
Pabst Blue Ribbon beer.
Finest beer served anywhere. Pabst Blue Ribbon. Prove it yourself with a three-way experts test. One, your eyes are pleased with that blue ribbon clearness and sparkle. Two, your nose is teased with the aroma of blue ribbon hops. Three, your taste agrees.
Finest beer served anywhere.
Pabst Blue Ribbon beer.
What'll you have?
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
And now a serious word from the man who makes Riley so smiley.
Folks, this is Riley, alias William Bendix. Most American parents believe very definitely that what was good enough for them isn't good enough for their children. We want the very best for our youngsters, and of course that means a fine education. As matters stand, however, America's educational institutions face a dangerous crisis. The increased birth rate during and since the war means that our schools will have to educate an extra million children a year, each year, for 7 years. And right now, the schools just can't do it. To try to make them work under the added strain would be like trying to cram a brick into a matchbox. In order to give our youngsters the education they deserve, we'll need more schools, more classrooms, more equipment. New facilities will have to be built, and old ones strengthened. 250,000 extra elementary school teachers must be found. A task of this size calls for the cooperation of all Americans who recognize that the strength of our schools is the strength of our communities. Your local school boards and civic groups are drawing up an educational blueprint for the future. You can join them and work with them, helping to prepare our schools for the great influx of students. And you can get additional information by writing to the National Citizens Commission on Public Schools, New York, New York. Good citizens everywhere are helping. How about us? Good night, and we'll see you next week.
Blue Ribbon invites you to join us again next week to hear The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix as Riley. The Life of Riley is produced by Irving Brecker by arrangement with Universal International Pictures, which will soon release Peggy, starring Diana Lynn and Charles Coburn. Tonight's script is by Alan Lipscott and Reuben Shipp. Music by Lou Kozloff. Mrs. Riley is Paula Winslow. Digger Odell is John Brown. Babs is Louise Erickson. And Junior is Bobby Ellis. The Life of Riley is brought to you by the Pabst Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Newark, New Jersey, and Peoria, Illinois, and sent your way with the best wishes of Pabst Blue Ribbon dealers from coast to coast. Jimmy Wallington speaks.
Be Bill Stern's guest next on NBC.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.